What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Locked On Cavs podcast for Saturday, April 9th. I'm with my co-host, as always, Evan Samrell. Today's show is all about Cavs in Brooklyn, the return of Evan Mobley, and where things stand for the Cleveland Cavaliers as they head into their last game of the regular season. Let's get into it.
Cavs need a three. Sexton works on Irving, trying to get loose. He'll fire. Knocks it down. Ground. Here goes Okoro to the bucket. And oh my, Okoro throws it down. 10 seconds to go. Here comes Colin Sexton. Sexton chased by Hill. Off to Stevens. Oh my. 45 ticks to go. That shot is blocked by Nance.
Get that weak stuff out of here.
Prince knocks down that Harden pass. Garland's there. Garland upstairs for Allen. Oh, look out.
There you go. That's called team ball right there.
All right, we're here Saturday, April 9th. Thanks for tuning in on the weekend. We're coming to you again this week just because this Friday game, you know, Evan's not looking at me right now as we're recording, but things are so important that we had to talk about it here on a Saturday. The Cavs lost to the Brooklyn Nets 118-107 in Brooklyn on Friday. Garland had 31 and 3. Evan Mobley returned, which was good and was largely very good, had 17, 7, 2 steals and 2 blocks. Kevin Durant had a game high 36. The Cavs were really, really good. Maybe the best basketball we've seen them play in like a week or so. Some of the most inspired basketball we've seen them play in the second and third quarters. Really dominated the third quarter and then were kind of shellacked in the fourth and had a very tough opening first quarter. Where do things stand? Because the Heat beat the Hawks, the Cavs are still holding on to the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference. We're going to get to that later in the show and getting into what's online on Sunday for Cavs Bucks. But Evan, what to you popped in this one? What to you stood out in this game for Cleveland, whether it was a positive in terms of how they kind of looked better for about half of this game, whether it was the return of Evan Mobley, whether it was whatever it is, what kind of popped to you as you kind of processed this one?
A few things popped me. One, Kevin Durant's just probably the best player in the world. Him and Giannis are definitely up there just for the best players in the world right now. But on the Cavs side of things, they weathered a storm. Like, it looked like this game was over after the first quarter. You're like, okay, it's been a fun ride. I think it's time for the Cavs to kind of tap out and maybe get ready for the play-in tournament and having to go on the road for it. But they really showed a little bit of adversity. They showed some grit. A lot of buzzwords that the Cavs like to use. But they handled it well. They weathered the storm in the first quarter, kind of bounced back in the second and third and kept it close. And then, again, Kevin Durant is just really the X factor in this game that kind of separated the two. Kyrie Irving as well, he had a pretty crappy night in terms of efficiency, but he still made a difference, and I think that's all that matters. Bruce Brown, awesome. I still think the Cavs should go after him in free agency. But on the Cavs side of things, it's good to see Garland just kind of showing more and more like how talented and how much potential he has. And then also Evan
Mobley's look, I think the second and third quarters, you know, showed that they at least have a little, there is a little juice left in there, right? Like if the Tuesday game in Orlando was perhaps the most deflating performance of the season for them in a lot of ways, and the first quarter was not good, the Cavs looked like, it felt like a game for,
They looked like they did against Orlando, and I'm like, okay, they're saying just all the right things, but they're just going to come out and
And when you're in that position, defense, I think you can look at that and say, okay, the Cavs are going to be in this spot with Brooklyn where Brooklyn is going to just score a lot of points because KD's going to go off and Kyrie is going to go off, and they're going to get easy shots, and everything's just kind of still a little bit wonky right now, and they looked flat energy-wise. You're not going to win a game where Brooklyn is just, you have to go toe-to-toe with Brooklyn scoring-wise. That has never been Cleveland's DNA. That was never going to be.
You're not going to want to shoot out with the Nets.
And then,
in a
way that, for reasons I haven't, I don't feel like I have a good grasp on that on first watch. This is a game I'm going to try to squeeze in at least a partial rewatch ahead of Sunday's game just to kind of think about some of these things. I found that the second and third quarter, Cleveland is able to get the game kind of back in their flow, get it back in their pace a little bit, and that made a big difference. I mean, they kind of just took it to the Nets in the third quarter and looked really, really good, and then the fourth quarter kind of unraveled with the Nets in particular making 6 or 7 free throws to the Cavs, not taking a free throw, despite the kind of the shooting percentages, the field goal attempts being relatively normal. So, or relatively even, I should say. So, all in all, I think you don't feel as bad about this one if you're Cleveland as you might have compared to, like, the Orlando loss. I think it obviously still puts you in a tricky position going into Sunday. But
it is
right, but I think at the very least, if you look at this and say, okay, we had a good second quarter, a good third quarter. Darius was great. Evan looked great in his return. I mean, you're doing good, but Evan Mobley was pretty good.
I'm making my return. It's been an episode, and I took a shower and everything for this episode.
You're in a
today.
Position there where at least I think you should feel. And it seemed like post game, JB Bickerstaff at least was somewhat encouraged with where they left things as they go into the season finale.
You think he was encouraged?
I think
he's pretty deflated.
I got that more from Darius. I got from JB that his voice was very hoarse because he was yelling, right? But I felt as if. Yeah, but like more than normal a little bit. But I felt as if it seemed like he left a little bit okay. Like we at least we weren't quite as, like we responded at least a little bit. The effort was mostly good. Even if like you're obviously upset to lose, it felt like at least a little bit of a step forward to some degree.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment, honestly. I just think he seemed a little let down. I think he had the right disposition going into the game where like he's trying to take a lot of the pressure off his guys, at least publicly saying like, I just want them to go out and have fun. I'll do anything it takes to make sure my guys just feel comfortable and like they're having a good time out there. The Cavs are still playing tight. That's just my key takeaway from just like the last 2 to 3 weeks of this season for them. They obviously are playing with like the fact that they're cognizant of where they stand in the Eastern Conference and how it's just kind of been a gradual slide from 4th place to 5th place to 6th place to 7th place to now 8th place. And again, I don't know. And the great, like, because Darius Garland kind of summed it up best, or he did seem frustrated that they keep losing, but he's also like, you gotta look at it as like a glass half full too. The Cavs weren't supposed to be here this season. They weren't supposed to be at this point this season. They were supposed to be like the Magic and maybe just rebuilding and looking at Paolo Banchero or Chet Holmgren, or if they really wanted to get wild with this big man experiment of theirs. Like, you and I both thought they were going to be a rebuilding team, and I think a lot of people on the outside of this organization thought they were going to be a rebuilding team. I know people on the Cavs organization who thought they'd start the season 0-15, so they've been a fun story. I think it just sucks that the injuries have taken their toll and just kind of like the straw that breaks the camel's back for the Cavs. And it's just unfortunate that they have to play the Nets, who are fighting for play-in positioning. And we don't know what the Bucks are going to do quite yet, because I don't know if the gap between them and Boston is completely separated.
Yeah, we will get to that and run through some of the scenarios, I think, here coming up in the second segment. Third segment, we're going to talk about Evan Mobley's return and also some of what Darius and go back to this talking about the accomplishments, because Darius had a quote about that I want to hit on a little bit. So after the break, we're going to get into what's on the line Sunday. But Evan, you are first going to tell everyone about our friends at Bet Online.
Yeah, speaking of lines, you can place some bets on the Cavs game on Sunday or any of the games in the remainder of the Eastern Conference slate. And check out our today's sponsor, BetOnline.net. They're the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including this week's Masters Championship odds, podcasts, and reviews for all the different leagues this season. BetOnline is your continued source for all the sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. For instance, you can bet on the Lakers' next head coach, where David Fizdale is currently the favorite at minus 300. Quinn Snyder's in second at +450, and Doc Rivers is at plus 475. Or, if you're in the WNBA, you can bet on the title odds of the Connecticut Suns, currently the favorite at plus 350, and the Las Vegas Aces, now coached by Becky Hammon, are next at +375. So if you're interested, head to their website today at betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right, back here on the Locked On Cavs podcast, I'm Chris Manning. That is Evan Damerl. So here, punch the mic, hit your bingo card. So where things stand is that winning is obviously step one for Cleveland. Because of the Atlanta loss, the Cavs win, it does not matter what else happens on Sunday. If they win, they will at the very they will likely be the eight seed.
Yeah.
And they will get two cracks in that scenario at winning a game in the play-in tournament to make it to the actual playoffs. If they lose, this is where things get dicey. So Atlanta is playing the Rockets, who are tanking and stink. The Hornets are playing the Wizards, who also should be tanking, but you know.
And the Nets are playing the Pacers.
And if you look at what is going on with on the Milwaukee side of this, Milwaukee is currently the second seed in the East. They are a game up on the Celtics, who are the third seed. Both of these teams have one game to play heading into the final day of the regular season. The Bucks tip at 3:30, obviously, against the Cavs. The Celtics don't play until 7 o'clock when they're playing at Memphis. And looking at their schedule, I'm going to pull up and see the tiebreaker. But, Evan, I guess while I do this, I guess, for me, I sort of think all of these scenarios to some degree like are reasonable. Like the two most likely teams for Cleveland to play in the first round of the play-in tournament. I'll link this in the show notes. Matt Moore did a really great job of compiling all of these because he's a maniac and does that. You can see every single scenario. Basically, the odds are that Cleveland either going to play Brooklyn again, probably in Brooklyn, or they're going to play Charlotte if they slide down into the 9-10 matchup. That is the those are the two likeliest teams they're going to play. So I guess when you look at this, how are you viewing Sunday's game in terms of what's on the line and what you're looking to see from the Cavs here?
Well, it's really interesting because if you look at what Milwaukee's trying to do as the second seed, they would have to play likely Brooklyn in the first round. And if you're the Bucks, you maybe don't want to draw the Nets in the first round.
So you might want to slide to three and play the
Bulls.
Did you see the Giannis quote?
No.
Giannis basically said he had a quote that was going around on Friday night that was basically like, give me the toughest challenge in round one.
Okay, so they probably...
And the other thing about this is, so these two, Boston and Milwaukee are tied 2-2 this year and they're head-to-head.
It goes down to the divisional standings after that.
Okay, so the Bucks, I think they're both winning their divisions. So then it goes to, I believe, conference record, correct?
And conference-wise, they have an identical record. Boston wins and Milwaukee loses. Boston has...
Yes.
One more conference win than the Milwaukee.
Right now they both have 33. The Bucks have one less loss, so they would be tied. And then whatever the tiebreaker is after that, it gets complicated. These things are nutty and weird. And
it's fun. The East is fun again.
Yeah, it is fun. The East is fun again. But it's like I don't know exactly what Milwaukee's like plan will be Sunday. It's sort of unclear to us here. Check out Locked on Bucks for Cam Pittman's analysis on that. But it seems I don't know if you can like bank on Milwaukee like doing you a favor Sunday necessarily.
No, it would not surprise me if Sunday afternoon we see Giannis Antetokounmpo, Drew Holiday, and Chris Middleton out there for the Bucks, because also Mike, that's not like Mike Budenholzer's style. He doesn't really like to rest his players to begin with.
Yeah.
So it's definitely interesting to see what's going to happen there. But if that's what Giannis said, maybe they'll try and go out and be competitive and lock up that 2 seed so that they just completely eliminate the gap between them and Boston. Other than that. I think it is likely that Cleveland is going to go back to Brooklyn. I don't know. I look at it this way. The Nets play the Pacers. The Pacers want to lose.
Yes.
And they also want to keep that draft pick that they have from the Cavs. So if they help the Cavs out a little bit and maybe let them have two cracks at the playoffs, then the Pacers will have two picks in this year's draft. So the Pacers have incentive as well to lose this game and help Cleveland out a little bit.
Yeah. When I talked to Tony East from Locked On Pacers,
you troll Tony East all the time.
I texted him last night. I was like, Tony, it's happening. It's happening, buddy.
Malachi Branham's going to be a Cavalier, Tony.
whoever it ends up being, whatever kind of prospect it ends up being, like it is possible. It just seems that is very much on the table. I mean, the Cavs would, I think, certainly be underdogs against Brooklyn. I think, you know, if I don't really have a gauge on...
Oh, they absolutely will be underdogs against Brooklyn.
Yeah, I don't have quite a gauge on what their scenario would be against Charlotte. That would probably be in Cleveland. And if that were to happen, they would be 9 and Charlotte would be 10. There is a scenario where the Cavs do fall to 10. And that gets a little more complicated, obviously. But
well, let me ask you this. Boston does play Memphis tomorrow. Do you think the Bucks kind of know maybe the Grizzlies are going to go out? The Grizzlies might rest their players, too. They locked up the 2 seed.
Yeah. So the Grizzlies are 4 games up on the Warriors for the 2 seed right now and 8.5 back of the Suns. So they are not catching the Suns, and they are not going to lose space to the Grizzlies. The other thing that I think that makes this complicated is that, like, functionally these teams are going to have, like, a week off because – the play-in tournament takes place, I believe, with the 12th through the 15th.
The 12th and the 15th, because is the draft. 12th. The NFL draft next week?
I think it's the week after. There's like a couple days where the play-in tournament takes up the league schedule. It's
2 weeks after.
Right. So the play-in tournament takes place through the 12th and the 15th. So these teams' last games are going to be on the 10th. They're going to have, like, a week off functionally. So, like, the paramount to, like, rest guys and, like, is not like you might still do it, but I don't think it is like as mandatory at the end of the regular season now when you might have had like a day or two in between some of these situations, right? Like that is just it's a little bit different in terms of that reality of it all, right? Like I think that makes it a little bit different to some degree.
Yeah, it does. I don't know, man. It's going to be tight. It's going to be tense. What, like you said, do you think they are going to be the 8th seed?
I'm so bad at like this stuff because I could see
a scenario where Cleveland falls to 10. I really do. Because the Hornets are so like hot right now. And they beat the crap out of the Bulls last night.
Well, the Bulls like the Cavs Bulls are down bad right now.
They're down bad, but the Hawks are really good too. So like I could realistically see Brooklyn, Charlotte, and Atlanta all winning and Cleveland losing tomorrow. And we watch the Cavs have to go down to Charlotte and beat the Hornets and then probably go to Atlanta and beat the Hawks, which is a really tall order.
Yeah, I think that's certainly on the table. I think the Miami really did Cleveland a favor in terms of they control their own destiny. If Cleveland can win on Sunday, and they put all their chips in the basket for that game in terms of their emotional energy and all that stuff, like they give themselves, I think, the best chance to make it out of this, right? Like it is really like as suboptimal as things have gone, and I think we can note that they've not. This is not the same quality of team that we've seen. This is not the same team that we sort of thought maybe like we're wondering, okay, can they hang out of the 6th seed at the very least? Can they get up to 4 perhaps, right? What we're looking at here is still a team that if they win this game, they control their destiny because of how things played out in Miami with Atlanta losing in Miami on Friday night as they right after the Cavs lost to Brooklyn. So like there is still some, I think, control there if they can do it. But it's just like what does Milwaukee do has a big part on that, and it's hard. I think it's hard to know the day before what that is. And look, as you think about
checking the injury report every hour on the hour to see what's going on, and no updates yet.
I mean, look, here's the thing: the Cavs are weird about their stuff.
I'm not saying the Cavs. Oh, I'm saying Milwaukee.
The Cavs are weird about their stuff.
So. For reference, folks, the Cavs have until 4:30 p.m. local time to submit their injuries, and ditto for Milwaukee. It has to be before 5 p.m. local time. So that's like 4:30 today at the latest, because we'll post this episode today, is when we'll know who is and isn't playing tomorrow's game in Cleveland.
Yes. So we'll...
Sorry, somebody... Jonathan Peterlin from 92.3 The Fan just texted me, so I had to look at my phone real quick.
Sick name job, brother.
No problem.
Here's the TLDR of this. If the Cavs win Sunday, they will be the 8th seed. They will get 2 cracks at it. If they don't,
if they win and the Nets somehow lose,
yes,
Cleveland will be the top seed in the play-in tournament, which seems improbable.
Yeah, it seems improbable. But if you're
the Pacers, what the hell are you doing? You're adjusting you're compromising your draft plans.
Yeah, all of these teams should be losing. But like if the Cavs lose, then things are a little bit more chaotic and you should be paying attention to like the other games of the day, which are pretty much all of them are like afternoon tip-off times. So, all right, after the break, we're going to get into what Evan Mobley's return was like, because that frankly was If the A1 story
true
is
the true highlight of Cavs.
If the A
that Darius Garland dribble move.
If the A1 like main story on like the sports page here is the Cavs lost to Brooklyn, the sidebar column, Ashley Bassock wrote a really good one. Go read it at Cleveland.com. You can that is like the sidebar feature story right off of this game. But after, we're gonna get to that after the break. First, tell everyone about our friends at Built Bar. Look, this is the time of year when everyone is giving up head and ears resolutions by now, but not me. That's part because of Built Bar. With Built Bar, I'm getting a great protein bar that is covered in 100% real chocolate. Yes, their puffs included, and they have great macros. Go to their macros chart on built.com, and you're going to be blown away. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 17 grams of protein, 4 grams of net carbohydrates in most Built Bars. Compare that to a candy bar that usually has 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. They have great flavors too: mint brownie, coconut almond, and a whole bunch more. They're all delicious. They have new flavors coming out all the time, and if they think a flavor might be good, they're gonna make it because they put taste first and they always figure it out and make it healthy as they go. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Again, that promo code is LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, back here on the Locked On Cavs podcast. I'm Chris. That is Evan. So, Evan, let's talk about the other Evan, the 7-foot-tall Evan. He was very good.
Dude,
17 points.
7 foot.
You're not 7 feet tall.
My attitude is 7 foot.
Yeah, you're punching up a lot of the time. 17 points, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 steals. Had some very, very impressive two-way sequences. Played really big and physical in the way you'd sort of would hope. It didn't look like a guy that was hampered at all by his ankle injury. And this is obvious. The Cavs are just a much better, more functional basketball team when Evan Mobley is on the is on the floor doing Evan Mobley things.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. It's just the Cavs are a better team. They'll obviously be better defensively with Jared Allen because I think just that wall they have in terms of protecting the paint, the rim is just really immovable for the Cavs. Sorry, Finnegan just knocked some stuff off my coffee table and it killed my flow. Yeah, I know. He just looks really good. I think he makes the Cavs more complete on both ends of the floor. Like, there's just the playmaking he does as a hub. Like, he made some really sharp passes in this game. He just obviously makes the Cavs better, and you and I have made this argument for quite a while now that if Houston took Evan Mobley second and Cleveland ended up with Jalen Green with the third overall pick, I think the Cavs would be obviously better just from the pure talent aspect and how Jalen Green is just really coming along strongly in the second half of this season. But they would not be in the position they're in without Evan Mobley because of all the little things he does that you can't really look at in a box score, and you have to really watch his game and digest as much film as possible with him.
Yeah, like Evan Mobley had like a sequence in this game where he just erased Andre Drummond's shot on one end. Other side of the floor, he's playing big, he's getting inside, he's doing damage just as a playing like a bigger than he is guy. Like, look, I understand he's 7 feet tall, but this is a pretty still skinny guy. This is still a guy that is gonna have to add muscle, and like, he's not even really like a comfortable lob threat yet. Like, that's something in part of his offensive game that we haven't quite seen fully develop yet, in my opinion. But he's still going out, and he's just like effective. It is, as JB Bickerstaff said post game, he just rolled out of bed, had 17 and 7. Like, he just fit himself back in, and that's like some of the beauty of him. Mobley is a guy who can just kind of fit whatever you need him to do.
That ankle sprain looked really nasty on the broadcast. I'm like, look, watching it in person and then seeing on the replay, you're thinking like, oh shit, this might shut him down for the year. I was like thinking he might have a little bit of rust. Like, yes, he was on a minutes restriction, but he made such a huge impact, like, instantaneously. That's crazy.
Yes. Mobley, like, look, that game is not competitive in the second and third quarters. They don't have a chance to win that game unless he's playing. And they were 1-4 without him. Their defensive identity and things they like to do are just kind of shot without him. And that teams are defined by their best players. That's how this works. So, like, that isn't surprising. I would like to see how he looks. Let's see how he looks Sunday. I think certainly you just feel better about your chances of maybe winning that game if he's there. I mean, just his switching ability, his ability to challenge shots at the rim. I think just like at how well he defended Drummond, who's like, look, we had a lot of experiences with Andre Drummond on the show when Drummond was a Cavalier. Drummond's like bigger than Mobley. He is bigger. He's more physical. He still had some good moments in this game when the Cavs kind of got a little scrambled on defense and lost track of guys and their assignments. But like, he also just had these moments where you just saw Mobley like handle that size really well, recover really well. Like, there's some times he got switched onto Kyrie, and Kyrie would like shake him with a move, and he's able to recover and alter that shot because he's just that good. Like, this guy is that good. They are just so much cleaner with him. Like, we've seen some benefits perhaps of maybe Moses Brown as a vertical threat. He's been fine in filling in what he's had to do. Evan Mobley is just so essential to what this team does. Like, it was a testament to me, Evan, that in Mobley and in Garland, both those guys, like, for all of the other things that didn't exactly go right in that game, and, you know, didn't get a lot of offensive production from Okoro, Stevens, like, you know, kind of a little bit, not a ton from Kevin necessarily. Those two guys showed up. And if you want to feel like that your two young stars kind of showed up for this big moment, I think you feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, no, you have to feel really good about that. I think it's just a huge win that he's just kind of, like, he is a core component of what the Cavs are trying to do, obviously. But I think it's also just good that you're able to pick up right where you left off and continue going. And I don't know. It's he's really fucking good. Like, I don't know how else to spin it. Like, Evan Mobley's really good. I know it's such a hot take on this podcast, locked on Evan Mobley on my end. But he should be Rookie of the Year. I know Scotty Barnes is coming on strong. I know Cade Cunningham's playing great. I know Jalen Green's playing really well, too. But Mobley should be Rookie of the Year. And because, again, just the impact he's had on Cleveland's season. Like, I think Toronto was going to be good whether or not Scotty Barnes had an impactful rookie season. But Evan Mobley has just been the key difference maker. He is literally the straw that stirs Cleveland's drink on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, it's him and Darius, I think. So, Evan, let's end on this. Darius,
yeah, Garland. Yeah, no, Darius is the engine of the offense, but I just think Mobley is just the connective tissue on both ends of the floor. Like, he just makes so many things work for the Cavs.
I think especially defensively and then offensively, I think we've seen him grow into that a little bit more, where Darius still just kind of has... Darius has to handle everything.
Yeah, no. Watching his game grow offensively is fun, and I'm very excited to see what he looks like next season. After a full offseason of strength and conditioning, kind of knowing the rigors of an NBA season, what he looks like going into next year as well. Like, the sky's the limit, and whatever Michael Jordan said, the ceiling is the roof or whatever.
Summer muscle watches are often very silly. I will be partaking in Evan Mobley's summer muscle watch. Okay, Evan, let's end on this. Darius Garland said after the game that the slide that they've had the last couple weeks has not affected them, what this team has accomplished. Quote, "We weren't even supposed to be here this year," he said. I just want to ask you, what do you make of the balancing of, I think, being frustrated? Look, if you're the Cavs and you're looking at this and saying, okay, these last couple weeks have obviously not gone how you wanted, but we've still taken a step forward. How do you balance those two things as you kind of evaluate what we've seen this season from Cleveland?
I think he's spot on. I talked about it a little bit in the last or the first segment that the Cavs really weren't supposed to be here. Odds makers picked them to win 26, 27 games this year. You and I were low on them. The media who covers this team was low on them. Nationally, of course, everyone was low on them.
I don't think the team also didn't think they'd necessarily be here right now.
They were saying, well, like, Colin Sexton said it, and a few players backed him up on it. And Bakerstaff and Kobe Altman are like, yeah, we love when our players talk like that, but you got to be realistic. And let's be frank, why wouldn't you feel that way? They have been losers for the two last seasons. Like, they obviously shamelessly tanked a little bit once they knew the play-in was out of reach last year, but it's interesting to see how much the Cavs leveled up. I think it's Darius Garland becoming an elite point guard. Like, I feel comfortable in saying that now. Like, I think he is an elite player and should be a part of that. Oh, my camera's out of focus. Be part of that conversation going forward. But
still a little out of focus there, buddy.
Yeah, I know it is. But it's locked on censored now. But either way, it's been a fun season. I think people are obviously and naturally going to be disappointed no matter what happens, because I think when JB said it's a disappointment not to make the playoffs, I think a lot of people were like that. I know a lot of people who were weirdly citing advanced stats with only like a month of tangible data saying like this Cavs team's the finals team. Like, I think they're going to be disappointed because I promise you they still have that mentality that they could win a championship this year. They're a good team. They're in a really good place. You have to look at it this way. Not many teams can organically build a big three that is so young like it is that Cleveland has in Mobley, Allen, and Garland. Now all I have to do is continue building around them and just build towards the future. Like the potential of this Cavs team long term is going to be really fun to kind of just like break down as we watch it evolve over time.
Yeah, I think where it goes from here will provide some context to what we've seen here, and I am curious to see what the team's reaction again is in the summer versus and how they view kind of balance things. I think the moves that they make, perhaps more than what they say, just be and what they leak out and whatever, just because that's just how this kind of works. I want what moves they make, I think, will be telling about what they kind of feel and how things have gone the last couple months and how they react to that and overall in the big picture. But that is going to be it. So we'll be back. Our Monday show will be all about Cavs Bucks. We'll lay out where they are in that after that game, the play-in tournament, everything you're going to need to know for that week. That is going to be our Monday show, perhaps going up Sunday night, depending on how things go and all of that. But we're looking forward to that. It's going to be fun to get to cover at least a playing game for the Cleveland Cavaliers, for the Cavs, because it's been a long time coming. And again, they lose to the Nets, still have a good chance here of making the playoffs if things kind of break a certain way and they control their own destiny heading into the final day of the season. Who would have thought we'd be here? Shouts to Paul Rudd. Everyone be well. Talk to you soon.